Well, today I'm excited because I am celebrating. I am celebrating because my second child, Jack, is now home, and he's just arrived home on Friday night, and I haven't seen him for 6 months. So we are celebrating. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for celebrating with me. I'm so excited. We'll have eating exhibitions, and we'll do some things together. We'll go to the movies, and we'll be glad and sit with him and be glad that his presence is with us and just sit for a change. Amen. We need to celebrate sometimes some of these things that are going on in our lives. And I love to celebrate when my kids come home. I love to celebrate the things that are in my life that sometimes I forget. What about you? What are you celebrating? Is it a wedding? Is it an anniversary? Is it a birthday? Are you just glad you can sit next to your spouse at church on Sunday? My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are celebrating today World Communion Sunday. We celebrate with people all around the world this one sacrament that we call communion. We celebrate with everybody of all sorts of different tribes, ethnicities, colors, no matter what geographical boundary that would surround you, we celebrate with people Jesus' presence in our life. Amen? In fact, the church calendar has always been set up that those who follow Jesus will always celebrate. We kind of got it from our Jewish heritage. Jewish heritage was a lot of celebration going on in their calendar. And in the Christian calendar, those who follow Jesus, we have Advent to start our year off, and that prepares us for Christmas, the Mass of Christ, when Jesus comes on earth, and we celebrate that Jesus is among us. In January, Epiphany, we celebrate that the kings went to visit the Christ child. And then Lent prepares us for Easter, the great celebration when we celebrate Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. And every Sunday when we get together, every Sunday when we come here to sing, and every time we come here to read the scriptures together, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen? We are a celebrating people. And we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate the presence of Jesus in our midst today through communion. And the people around the world get this idea from all three of our Gospels, the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of all, the event of communion was in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today, we're going to stick with Mark. Mark was the first book, the first testament to be written about Jesus and his life. And that's where we're going to start today. So if you have your Bibles with you today, the old-fashioned kind, this kind, yeah, open it to Mark 14. If you've got your phone with you and you've got an app with it on, open that. If you're online, please go to another tab and Google in there. Mark 14 is where we are today. Mark 14. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" Jesus sent two of them ahead with these instructions. "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'Teacher, ask, where's the great room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up, so that is where you should prepare our meal." So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Now, Karen Martin read this to us very clearly, but I want to reiterate some of the things that are going on. it's Passover. Every year in the Jewish calendar, they celebrate Passover. They celebrate when the angel of death passed over each of their homes because they put over the mantles of their home the blood of a lamb. And this was the celebration that they were set free from slavery, set free from an evil oppressor, and set free from Egypt into Israel. And every year they celebrated this event, and they were so thankful and so excited to share the Passover meal together. In fact, they would set a chair at the end of the table ready for the Messiah to fulfill everything that was written in the scriptures. And this was the celebration meal. It was a big event. It's a big event. Anybody had a Passover meal, been to one, been a part of one? Maybe you've seen one. It's a really big event. One of the rules was that you stayed within the city of Jerusalem in order to have, you had to be in Jerusalem to have Passover. So every Jew, every known Hebrew in the world was in Jerusalem. You can imagine how packed that was, right? In this small little town, everybody was in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. There's people everywhere, sheep and donkeys and sacrificial lambs everywhere. And everybody was looking for a place to have their Passover meal, including Jesus' disciples. Jesus, where do you want it? And Jesus said, well, you know, go into the city, of course, look for a man carrying water on his head and follow him. And he'll show you where the room is. Now, if I was Jesus, I would have said, go down Straight Street, take a right on Main Street, look left, look up the stairs, and that's where you'll be staying. In fact, I'd have done it even better than that. I'd have sent him the address via Google Maps, via text. Got it? But Jesus didn't say that, did he? He gave specific directions. He said, follow a man carrying an urn of water on your head. Now, in ancient Near East Israel, in Jerusalem, lots of women would walk around with water on their head. Jesus said, look for a man. He was always flipping everything, you know. Look for a man. Look for a man carrying water. So sure enough, they found him somehow. They walked into the city. They found the man carrying the water, and they followed him to this room, to the owner of the house, and the owner of the house must have known the disciples by sight, and they did exactly what Jesus said. If you got the room ready for the teacher, which is kind of vague, right? You got the room ready for the teacher? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem, upstairs. Jesus knew the location of where he was to have the Last Supper, and this is the third Passover that the disciples had had with Jesus. But Jesus knew where it was, but he chose to use a random dude walking through Jerusalem and a owner of a house. Jesus used natural events to undertake the supernatural. Jesus used people like you and I. I mean, the poor, like, water carrier, yeah, he does his job, people follow him, he gets to the, carries the water, it's right here, yeah, you got, fizzles away into nothingness. We never hear of this dude ever again. And he had the most important job was to make sure the disciples knew where the Passover was going to be taken, the Last Supper. Who knows if he was even a follower of Jesus? Probably wasn't. The owner of the house, he was a follower of Jesus. He had the whole room set up, ready, nice and swept. Nice big room for all the followers of Jesus. Nice and swept, and the disciples stayed there and got it ready. Lots of preparation goes into the Passover. So the two disciples stayed there and got the Passover ready. Unawares to what was going to happen. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. This is verse 17. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12 as they were at the table. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. One of you eating with me here will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one? He replied, it is one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me. for the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it would be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." So Jesus gets to the house with the other 10 and everybody else that was following too. It must have been a big room to get ready. Now, often we have these depictions in art of what this event looked like. And I've got a couple of pictures for you here of what that event looked like. And some of you have seen these, before, of these pictures of Jesus at the table. Jesus, I've got one for you here. I think we're going to pull it up right here. Jesus is at the table, and he's at this. You've seen this image before, right? Jesus is at the table, and all the disciples are in the different colors. And in fact, this church, I remember seeing it on Palm Harbor. You had a living Last Supper. Do you remember that? You had a living Last Supper where you all got involved in way back. And it looked a little like this. Jesus sitting at a table, right? We've got some other, now, you know that it wasn't like that, but that's the way it was depicted by this artist. Now, I've got another picture for you here of what it could have looked like. This is almost like a living picture. Jesus obviously standing in the middle with the urn and his disciples sitting around him. Thankfully, a little younger, because they would have been really young. So this is like a better understanding maybe. But there's only 12 people there. There's probably a lot more than just the 12 there. The next slide I've got for you, the next picture is like, you know, a graphical representation of some of the faces. Some of the faces and angst and energy going along in the room. And this is obviously a more modern depiction of what could have been going on in the room that night. Now, my favorite picture of the Last Supper, even though Jesus is sitting at a table, is this one. You can see there's women at the front of the table. The table's zoomed out a little. There's women sitting at the table, and there's other people around the table. The table's lower. And there's more than just the 12 at the table. And there would have been more at the table, and there would have been women in that room having the Last Supper with them. In fact, Jesus wasn't sitting like this, neither were any of the disciples. Jesus was actually reclining at the table, which is like this. Jesus would have been sitting like this and eating like this. And so with the rest of the disciples, and John and James, they would have been hanging out with him, and there was cushions around. And they'd been eating the Last Supper together. And then Jesus, sitting like this, along with the disciples, says, "One of you is going to betray me. Is it I? Is it me?" Goes around the room, around all the women and all the men sitting in there. Is it I? Wait, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've given my entire life to following Jesus. All 3 years, I've followed you, Jesus. And is it me? And there's this whole, like, angst in the room. Like, can I be a follower and can I betray Jesus at the same time? Which one is it? Jesus says, "It's one of the 12. So everybody else in the room is like, "Phew, it's not me." It's, all he says is, it's one of the 12 disciples now looking at each other like, "Well, I mean, I jumped out of the water. I helped Peter follow. Surely it can't be me, Lord. Surely not I." And what does Jesus do next? What does Jesus do next now that this cat is out of the bag? Now that the atmosphere is thick with wonder, thick with is it me? Who is it? What does Jesus do next? Verse 27. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. Jesus, knowing full well that this event was going on, knowing full well that Judas was going to be the one. It doesn't actually say in this gospel, it doesn't actually say who it was, but he knows full well that Judas is about to betray him to the enemy and they are going to murder him on a cross. And yet still, what does he do? Breaks the bread. Breaks it into pieces for each of them. After the meal is over, they had a big meal, and he breaks the bread and he says, this is going to be my body. And he attends this Passover event, an event that celebrates the angel of death passing over them into a celebration of the author of life. He turns his celebration of being free from an enemy into a celebration of his life and his presence in amongst them. It's a celebration of getting out of just Jerusalem, out of just of Israel, but for everybody who calls on the name of Jesus. Amen? And everyone takes the bread. Everyone takes the bread in the room after the supper's over. And then he picks a cup up, any old cup. A cup that a wine was used in. I don't know if he washes it even. He picks it up and says, this is my blood and new covenant. They've had 6 glasses of wine by this time. Passover was a big deal. And they got to this cup. This cup's different. This cup's different because this represents my blood. Drink from this, all of you. Do it and remember something. And they pass it around. No COVID back then. They pass it around and they drink it. And they're wondering what this is about. Because now the Passover is no longer the Passover. We're going to have Eucharist. We're going to have the great Thanksgiving. We're going to have communion together. And anybody can take it. You don't have to be inside the city. Anybody outside the city, anybody outside the country, anybody outside that particular continent, anybody who calls on the name of Lord Jesus can now take it. I didn't really understand this for a long time, for at least 7 years. And at a former church I was at, my first church at Wellspring, we had a group of people that would come to church every week. And they were in Turning Point of Tampa Bay, which is a rehab clinic for those with eating disorders, Narcotics Anonymous, and Alcoholic Anonymous. And it's a really good program. It's normally about 6.5 weeks long. And if you are doing well in the program, if you are keeping up with all the rules and you have a good behavior, you could sign up to get out of the place. You have to give your cell phone in to give, you know, disconnections with outside world. But if you'd done well during the week, you could sign up to go to church on a Sunday on the wall. Just said church, and you put your name on the wall. So every Sunday, 11 o'clock, we would have 12 people come in the van that would file in. They would come right down the center and sit at the front. All sorts of different people. All sorts of different backgrounds of faith. All sorts of funny understandings of who is allowed in a church. And every week at this church, we would have communion. It was something I picked up. That was the culture of the church, and everybody had, we did it with the thing, with the altar and everything. It was a big tradition. And every week, I would say my same shtick, because by this time I was used to it, right? And every week I would say the same shtick. I would say, you know, you don't have to be a member of this church in order to take communion. You don't have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. In fact, if you want to take communion today, you don't have to be a Christian. The only requirement for you to come to the table today is that you are seeking Jesus. And those people down the front are like, I mean, is there anything I should do? Do you want me to say anything? Do you want me to do anything? And there would be tears pouring down their eyes, and they'd be bent over like this, just in appreciation, in thanksgiving. Sometimes I'd stop one. I'd had planned just to pray with these people. They'd kneel down next to where we were taking it, and they'd be crying and sobbing, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. Like, I do this every week. This is easy. Really? I can take communion? I've never been allowed to take this. I never thought I was worthy enough. I never thought I was accepted enough. I never thought that actually someone cared for me. And I thought to myself, what if I was that thankful? What if I was that acknowledging of what the Eucharist meant? What if it wasn't just going through the motions that I do every time we have communion together? What if I really looked at this as if it was a great thanksgiving as we celebrate the presence of Jesus? And from those in rehab, from those who were rehabilitating their life, I learned a key principle. Celebrate the presence of Jesus when we can. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, the founder of how we do our faith, how we do our practice of the presence of God, he said, give communion as often as you can. Have communion together, have Eucharist together as often as is possible for you to do. And he would see this as a key element of us practicing our faith together. In fact, communion is one of two sacraments in our church, in the Methodist Church. The first one is baptism, and the second is Eucharist or communion. And this is because Jesus commanded it to. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this so that you might celebrate Jesus being in your life. And as I said, when we get together, we celebrate the presence of Jesus in this room. We come to celebrate the presence of Jesus in our heart and in our community. And we celebrate when Jesus commands us to have communion together. And through these natural elements of bread and wine, and we have juice here in our church, through these natural elements of bread and wine, God does something supernatural, amen? We believe that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in our hearts and causes our emotions to realize, oh, wow, he actually died for me. He actually shed his blood for me. He actually broken his body for me. Something massive happens. Something supernatural. Through these natural events, something supernatural begins in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is present in our hearts, and it's agitated a little more. When we agree together, when we get to the tables, we've got tables today, and when we get to the tables, we celebrate Jesus being in our midst and in our community. And when we take the bread, I mean, the first disciples were probably like, what? When we're given the bread, you don't say, oh, thank you. Thanks, Keith, that's nice. We say, glory to God. We say, amen. We say, hallelujah, that bread, that body was broken for me. And when we're given the cup, or we take our little cups and drink the juice as a representative of Christ's blood, we don't say, thanks very much. We say, amen, glory to God. The blood of Christ shed for you and for me. And we are thankful for his presence in our lives. You see, when we gather together to have communion, when we gather together today at this table and the tables around in our sanctuary today, we celebrate the presence of Jesus. Will you do that with me today? Will you do that with me today? Amen. Let's celebrate together.
Hear the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment of silent confession.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You created for yourself a world filled with diversity and blessed by your breath of life. In mercy, you loved us steadfastly and delivered us from sin to reflect the beauty and diversity of your grace, to bring us into community of love, hope, and peace. And so now, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, you freed us from sin and established a new covenant with us. Jesus lived among us to show us your love. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. He prayed that we might be one as he is one with you, Father, and he asked that we might be known by the love we have for one another.
And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave thanks, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, God, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and juice, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Holy Spirit, come to the table, spread around the world today. Bless each person and bless our partaking, that we might grow into your body, united in love. And we bring reconciling peace to the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, and all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.